Where is your comfort place? Where's your comfort place? Is it sitting at home wrapped up in a blanket watching DuckTales on the sofa? Is it hanging out in your man cave, kicked back in your leather chair? Maybe for you, your comfort place is sitting out on the beach, basking in the sun in the middle of the summer, or maybe anytime if you're a beach person. Maybe your comfort place is working in the yard. Maybe your comfort place is going to actual work. You just really enjoy your job. Maybe your comfort place is playing your favorite video game, maybe Attack of Zerg, or maybe your comfort place is golfing or fishing or shopping or sitting in the deer stand. Maybe your comfort place is eating brunch at a mountain cafe, or maybe your comfort place is drinking coffee before you actually wake up. Yeah, you know who you are. All of us have a comfort place. We all have that place where we feel safe, we feel secure, we feel confident, we feel comforted, we feel relaxed, we feel at ease. But what if our comfort place could be any place and every place? What if everywhere could actually be our comfort place? A place where our hearts and our minds, we actually do feel safe and secure. We feel confident and comforted at home, at work, at school, in traffic, at the hospital, gathered around the family table for Thanksgiving where everybody doesn't have the same political views, you know? What if we really could be comforted anywhere? That no matter what was happening in life, no matter what we were facing, no matter what was happening around us or what was happening inside of us, that there actually could be this sense of comfort. It sounds a little too good to be true, right? So what is this comfort? Well, we continue our series, Unshakable Gratitude, where we are looking at the last part of Hebrews 12, and our hope is to reach toward the kind of gratitude that builds this deep sense of confidence in our lives, regardless of what moment we may find ourselves in. Our message title today is Unshakable Comfort, and we'll be looking in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 26. Listen to verse 26. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. About 3,471 years ago, Moses, the son of Jochebed, received the Ten Commandments from God, and he received the Ten Commandments at the physical place in Egypt known as Mount Sinai. There were about 2 million people camped out around the mount that day. They were the families, the Hebrew slave families, who had been rescued by God. And on that day, as they camped out at the mountain, as Moses received God's law, God's truth, those people experienced the most terrifying, frightening, awe-inducing moment that anybody has ever experienced on earth. The earth beneath their feet shook like a violent earthquake. The sky above them shook with lightning and thunder that rattled their whole body. And the voice of God shook from heaven in such a way that their ears were jolted, their minds, their hearts were jolted. It was a moment unlike any other, and that moment, a moment like that, is coming again. It will be a more ultimate moment, but a moment like that is coming again. Someone has said it won't just feel like an earthquake then. According to the scripture, it's going to be a heavenquake. An earthquake and a heavenquake. Here in Hebrews 12, 26, it's quoting what God had communicated to the prophet Haggai about 585 years before. This picture of a day when the Lord was coming to shake the heaven and the earth. You know, there's a lot of views out there when it comes to the details of prophets and prophecy in the Bible. Lots of people have a lot of different ideas about the intricate details of all the prophecies. And there's all kind of charts and graphs and philosophies that are connected with those things. And that can be very helpful. Some of those things are very valuable. However, when we begin to look, generally speaking, into the New Testament, the focus is not on intricate details. The focus is on the main issue. And what is the main issue when it comes to a moment like this where God is going to shake heaven and earth? What is the main issue? The main issue is simply this. Where will you be standing? Where will you be standing? Where will your feet be? Spiritually speaking, where will your heart be on that day? Right now, are things right between you and God? Have you turned from sin and turned toward Jesus? Are your feet right now in a solid place? Have you repented of your rebellion against God and His ways and received His salvation through His Son, Jesus? Someone once said that God did not design the prophetic realities of the Bible just to spark our curiosity. And we all have been in those kind of conversations, right? Where someone begins to talk about the prophetic teachings of the Bible, and next thing you know, you are running in a million different directions. Oh, that's fascinating. This is curious. Oh, let's jump off on that. But they said God didn't just create the prophetic teachings to spark our curiosity, and I agree. And I would say that when we look at the whole of Scripture, those prophetic teachings are not just to spark our curiosity, they are to spring and spur our character. What does that mean? Well, spring meaning that we discover and see the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see it in such a way that we believe it to be real, and our hearts are sprung free from the chains of sin. And spur meaning to encourage toward holiness, that these prophetic teachings are not just to spark curiosity, but they're to spring us from sin, and they're to spur us toward holiness. Have you been sprung? Have you been spurred by the great news of the gospel? Have you received the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ? Are you being encouraged in the salvation that comes in Jesus? The Bible says that Jesus will come just like a thief comes. You don't know when the return of Christ is going to come. So today, if you are not a Christian, this day, this moment, this could be your day of salvation. Not just one time, but the beginning of your salvation. A life of salvation here, an eternal life with God. Today could be your day of salvation. So turn to Jesus and live. And why should you do that? Because a day is coming when God will shake heaven and earth. Imagine if somebody from the U.S. Geological Survey shows up at my house one day and they say, hey, we want you to know we've been studying this area and we are finding through lots of different research, even help with NASA from space, that this area around your house, there is a significant sinkhole forming. And it is our estimate that sometime in the next 6 months, everything within 300 yards of your house will collapse into the ground. Now, can you imagine me saying, all right, well, thanks, fellas. We'll keep an eye out for that. Thanks a lot. Or would I heed these words and say, you know, maybe we should consider moving. Maybe we should make an adjustment. See, many people, when they hear prophetic teachings from the Bible, they look at those things as myths and legends and fairy tales. Some people, when they think of the Bible, they say, well, there's some good stuff in there. It's helpful. It can be of good use. But the Bible says about itself that it is living and active, that it is the standard of ultimate truth, the truth that we need the most, because it is a book that God, by His design, displays His character to the world. And the truth contained in the Bible, spanning more than 4,000 years, continues to stand up time after time and prove itself over and over and over again. The Bible is not here predicting what might happen in the future based on a U.S. Geological Survey. The Bible is communicating to us, giving us the future, not predicting the future, giving us the future, a future based on the character and the consistency of God. The character of God that does not change, the consistency of God that does not change. And the message is that there's going to be an earthquake and a heavenquake, that God is going to shake heaven and earth and all the systems of the world and the order of the world as we know it right now will no longer exist. Someone may be thinking, man, I thought you said this message is on comfort. Ain't nothing comforting yet. When are you going to get to that part? We're getting there. Listen to verse 27. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things. Carolyn's husband, her late husband, in 1984, built their family a beach house in Buxton, North Carolina. Last week, that house collapsed into the ocean, along with 9 other houses on the same row. The results of erosion and years and years and years of hurricanes coming through the area. It's a very sad reality, but we know that everything on the earth can be shaken right now. Everything can collapse right now. Your house, your car, your job, this sanctuary, anything and everything. This town, this community, this state, this continent, anything at any moment, in the blink of an eye, can get swallowed up. It can collapse. Governments, in a matter of minutes, can fall apart. Economies, in a matter of minutes, can fail. Do you believe that's a reality? I mean, we've seen it throughout history, so it is a reality, but do you believe it? Do you believe that anything and everything could be shaken and collapse at any given moment? It's logical, it's reasonable. So if it's logical and reasonable, if it's geological and scientific that anything and everything could collapse, wouldn't it at least be worth considering, just taking a look at the reality of the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ? Do you believe that God is going to shake heaven and shake earth, or are you not sure? In the deepest part of who you are you just not sure? Or are you convinced that it'll never happen, that it's just some story that people made up so they could start a religion or build a nice church building? The reality of the one true God, the reality of His Son, Jesus Christ, is worth considering spiritually when we know that logically and rationally everything could be shaken. So where is your ultimate faith? Today, right now, what are you ultimately standing on? What is it that you put most of your confidence, your safety, your security, your comfort in? And whatever that or that person, that thing or person or place may be, can it be removed in the blink of an eye? Where are you standing today? Because where you're standing today matters today, and it matters tomorrow, and it matters forever. Now again, someone may be thinking, well, hey, again, man, where's the comforting stuff? Some of you have seen that video that's out there of comedian Jeff Foxworthy, and he talks about how he grew up in the town where Chick-fil-A started. Like he said, for most of my life, I had the only Chick-fil-A in the world. And he said that he got to know Truett Cathy, the founder, and somewhere in a conversation one time, Mr. Cathy said, Jeff, do you know that the one thing that everybody could always have and always needs is encouragement? There's no one that doesn't need encouragement at any given minute, at any given day. Every single one of us, we all need encouragement. And for us to give people encouragement, he said, cost us absolutely nothing. I've shared this with you before. I'll share it again. If you're looking for a way to encourage people, if you're looking for a way to start an evangelistic conversation, compliment people's shoes. I'm telling you, it's just a thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they're wearing. You can say, hey, nice shoes. It just starts a conversation. There's always a way that we can encourage someone. So in this moment, this passage of Scripture is the encouragement. It is the comfort, if we will receive it. Last part of verse 27. So that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So God's going to shake heaven and earth so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. The filter, the sifting will happen so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. What cannot be shaken? What cannot collapse? What cannot be swallowed up? What cannot be removed? What things will remain no matter what your kids do for a job? No matter who your kids marry? No matter whether your kids stay single? What things will remain no matter what happens at church or work or school or home or Home Depot? What things will remain no matter who wins the game, no matter what law is passed, no matter who gets elected, and no matter who shows up for Thanksgiving? What things remain no matter what? The things of God. The things of God remain. The character of God are the things that will remain. His glory, His grace, His power, His authority, His mercy, His love. The dwelling place of God, the place of eternal life, will remain. It will not be shaken. It cannot collapse. It will not be removed. More than a decade ago, there was a song that captured a little bit of this. The song goes like this: higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, this one thing remains. And the chorus says, your love. It's your love that remains. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. That is what we have in Jesus Christ. Whatever collapses, whatever is shaken, whatever is moved, this love of Christ remains. It cannot be taken away. That is comfort. This language of things that will remain, that cannot be taken away, it's at least mindful of what Jesus said to his closest friends not long before he was arrested and crucified. John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So Jesus says, you may have tribulation, 50-50 chance. Jesus says, you know, after you turn 60, you may have a health issue here or there. It might happen. Jesus said, hey, watch out for Christmas 1986. Woohoo, that one could be a doozy. No, Jesus says, you will have tribulation. You'll have trouble. You'll have trials, you'll have tribulation, you'll have tragedies. There will be problems, there will be failings, there will be mistakes. Guaranteed. And Jesus says, for all of those things, there is an answer. And what is the answer? The answer is Him. Jesus gives Himself. Jesus says, no matter what happens in this world, He will remain. Jesus cannot be shaken. Jesus will not be shaken. Jesus cannot collapse. He will not collapse. Jesus cannot be removed. Jesus has overcome sin and evil and death and hell. Listen to that sentence again, because we live in a world of sin and evil and death and hell. Jesus has overcome sin and evil and death and hell. There is no power here. There is no person here that can separate us from his love. This is who Jesus is. He remains. He remains. He will always remain. When everything in the world shakes up, Jesus stands tall. Nothing can change that. Jesus overcame a friend who betrayed him to death. Jesus overcame church people shouting that he would be killed. Jesus overcame a politician that condemned him to death. Jesus overcame soldiers that crucified him to death. Jesus overcame death. Jesus conquered death. And because Jesus Christ conquered death, because he died and he was risen from the grave, because he is risen even now, because he overcame the world and its worst, he is the only one that has the love and grace and mercy and power and authority to say to those who will believe in him and follow after him two words. And those two words are, take courage. Take courage. Or as the King James says, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be of good cheer. Why? Because when heaven and earth are shaken by the one true Almighty God, and they will be shaken, there will be an earthquake, there will be a heaven quake. When everything is shaken, the love and grace and mercy and power and salvation of Jesus Christ will remain. It will remain. I don't know who said this, but I came across it in my reading, and I just love it. It's reflecting on and what it sounds like the letter to the Hebrews is trying to say, and this is what it said. Stand firm amidst the tremors, because the ultimate shaking is coming when the entire present evil order will fall into oblivion by the power of God. And you, as part of the new covenant people, will survive. So hangeth thou in there. Isn't that great? Hangeth thou in there. Take heart. Take courage. Be of good cheer. Hangeth thou in there. Because, dear Christian, we are not standing on sinking sand. We are standing on the solid rock of the person and power and purpose of Jesus Christ. That's comfort. That's encouragement. How do you end the day? What do you do like right before you go to bed? Is it, you know, glass of milk, a couple of hot dogs, you know, maybe you scroll through some news or sing a song or read a devotional book, whatever it is. I want you to kind of think about whatever you normally do to kind of, all right, this is the end of the day. It's time to stop. Here's this last thing I may do. And I want to invite you into a moment like that with the help of somebody who's been dead for 150 years. Charles Spurgeon wrote a daily devotional that's put together in a book. It's called Morning and Evening. It's a reading for the morning and a reading for the evening. You can get it in book form or you can find it anywhere on the internet. I highly encourage you to check it out. But this is part of the reading on June 22nd. So imagine you're wherever you're sitting, wherever you're laying at the end of the day, and imagine it's been a day. It was a tough day at the doctor. It was a tough day with your spouse. Tough day with your kids. Maybe it was a day where you're overwhelmed with things happening in the government or things happening in the economy. Maybe you're angry as fire about something, or maybe you're deeply depressed. And so it's the end of the day, and you're going to read these words for your heart. It's what Spurgeon says. We have many things in our possession at the present moment which can be shaken. There is nothing stable beneath these rolling skies. Change is written upon all things. Yet, we have certain things which cannot be shaken. And he gives this one. Whatever your losses have been, or may be, you enjoy present salvation. You are standing at the foot of his cross, trusting alone in the merit of Jesus' precious blood. And no rise or fall of the markets can interfere with your salvation in him. No breaking of banks, no failures and bankruptcies can touch that. Then, you are a child of God this evening. No change of circumstances can ever rob you of that. Dear Christian, you're a child of God this morning. And nothing can rob you of that. Nothing can cancel that out. Of all the things in life right now that every single one of us are not thankful for, and there's lots, and some of them are purely legitimate, but of the things that we struggle to be thankful for, we should not struggle in this. Let this be what you are most grateful for. If you are in Christ, right now, you are a child of God, and nothing can rob you of that. That is comfort. Unshakable comfort.